Who knows more about Munster rugby, me or you, Quinny?
Everyone has an opinion, don't they? Some of the opinions are waffle, but I'd like to think I know a lot.
The Red 78 with Alan Quinlan and Niamh Briggs. Subscribe to the Rugby Channel on the OTB Sports app and turn on your notifications now.
OTB AM.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
Delighted to say Tom Parsons, the CEO of the Gaelic Players Association, is with us. Tom, obviously, we saw Congress did its thing and a slight majority, over 50%, voted in favour of Proposal B, but it wasn't enough to get the 60% required. Now that the dust has settled a little bit, what's your take on what happened? Where did the vote get lost, the votes that you needed to swing this?
Yeah, look, I suppose firstly, I think the 80% of players who really pushed for it will be disappointed. I was disappointed, and I definitely believe that, you know, even if you think change is 85% there, you have to grab it, you know, and not wait for perfect. And, you know, if we wait for perfect or 100%, we'll never get there. So, yeah, so look, definitely disappointed immediately afterwards. But, you know, on reflection, you know, I've been asking players since to be positive and to work on, you know, one more push for 2023, because it was a very progressive change that was going to spark, I fully believe, spark life into Gaelic football. But, you know, there was a lot of positives to be taken from Congress as well. The fact that it won the majority, like it won 51%, which in itself is a mandate for change, and that was echoed through GA leadership and Larry McCarthy and Tom Ryan. So it gives us a really strong foundation to push it on for next year. But, you know, immediately afterwards, you got to be disappointed that 80% of your players really, really wanted this, and it landed on 51%.
Yeah, and when you think about it, you really only needed about 5% or 6% of those who were wavering to come over to your side, and that would have been transformative. What do you think were the actual big blocks? Like your own county, for example, it looks like they voted no. That must have been disappointing on one level. Why do you think Mayo and Galway, and what was it that was causing those counties not to get behind this proposal?
Yeah, like I was surprised a lot of the stronger Division One teams in Donegal, Galway, Mayo, it looked like Kerry as well, voted against it. And I think that came down to a small tweak in Team 6 in Division 1 not progressing through to the knockout stages, which was disappointing, because we always said that what we need here is a leap of faith and a proposal that's adaptable, that we can tweak and we can change. And that's a small change to make to maybe alleviate those fears. So in one way, it's, you know, it was disappointing. But in another way, there's definitely proof in the narrative on the floor in Congress that if we take this away and not make wholesome changes and bring it back to the table at our next opportunity, that it should alleviate the concerns of a number of counties. And as you said, 51% is so close to 60%. The challenge here is that, you know, I think we all worked really hard, not just players, but even yourselves and the media and clubs and the general Gaelic family. We worked so hard to even get that 51%. So, you know, there's going to be a challenge even to maintain the 51% that we have, and then alleviate and make any changes that we need to make to make sure that we bring the Galways and the Mayos and the Kerrys and Donegals with us.
What's next then? Because you mentioned the GA leadership feel like they have a mandate for change here. That's, I think, the single most important thing. But they were also saying that February might be too soon for us to get something back. You don't think that's the case?
Yeah, definitely not. Like, I mean, the conversation and the debate on the floor on Saturday was really good. You know, first of all, like I was actually really proud of, you know, in one way disappointed that it didn't reach 60%, but counties like Sligo, Offaly, Cork, Leitrim, Clare, like they fought really hard for their players on the floor. We need to build on that, you know. And I would have been a little bit disappointed that not more counties came out on the day and spoke publicly for it. But to answer your question, like February is, what, 3 or 4 months. Don't tell me we can't get in a room in 3 months, when we have something that everybody has said the foundation is there and have something on the table in February, you know? My only concern would be that for February, like, players play a huge role here, and they really did get in front of their county executives and were very vocal. And you know yourself, Ger, like, in February, players are completely focused on the game, and we mightn't be able to get that level of engagement from players. But still, you know, I think I'd be really disappointed. I'd be disappointed. I think players would be disappointed if we couldn't bring it back on the table in February. And you know yourself, if we drop the ball on this now, and we let 6 or 7 months pass this special Congress, it loses a bit of momentum.
How does that work then, Tom, in terms of moulding the exact proposal that goes on the CLAR in February? Is there another task force that gets set up, or is it a moulding of the one that we saw on the floor on Saturday?
Yeah, like, that's probably a decision that sits with Larry McCarthy and Tom Ryan, and I'll certainly be encouraging, can we retain some of the talent that was on that task force? Because, you know, we have a task force that you know, studied and reviewed over 28 proposals. They came up with a league-based championship as something that's fundamental and would alleviate a lot of the challenges we have in the championship in terms of giving teams games. So from my perspective, I'd be really hoping that A, the existing task force would have the appetite to get back on board and support that, and that the GA wouldn't start with a blank canvas in their task force. You know, I definitely don't think we need to go back to first principles here. I think we need to maybe bring in a little bit of new talent through a fixtures task force committee and make it a key priority and have something in December or January that we can then bring out and back to our counties and our clubs and come back in February with just a build on what we've already created. So that would be my take on it. I'll certainly be reaching out to Larry and have done in meeting up this week to see what is the lay of the land, what is the aspirations there.
That's interesting. It's hard to know what the role of the GPA is at this point. You know, you could go completely nuclear and say, unless something happens, we're going on strike. Or you can say, actually, you know what? We've been a very important part of the impetus behind this. And actually, that's where this organisation needs to be. It's trending towards listening more to the players than actually having a completely confrontational relationship. Because, Tom, you still expect that there are some counties who will always be, well, if the GPA are for it, we're against it.
Yeah, like, look, I think the GPA, like, first of all, we're not an elusive organisation. Like, the GPA is the players. So every time a player, you know, rings up an executive or, an administrator wants to sit down, like, that is the player's body. That's us all together. Like, we elect an NEC, which is all current and past players, that steers the direction of the association. And I just serve that. So, and we need, you know, to have a borderline relationship. You know, like, I have to represent the voice of the players. The players have to reflect that. So, you know, the relationship, I think, needs that tension, but also it is a positive relationship. Like, I am really proud of some of the conversations with administrators who really fought hard for their players on the floor. And I think if we keep working with administrators and players working together, can we increase that from, you know, 5 or 6 counties really, really speaking and fighting for the players on the floor to maybe 7, 8, 9, 10 counties. And look, maybe there's some delegates and administrators that will never see the GPA in the most positive light for some reason, but that's out of our control. And as the Players Association and body, you know, we are the players and we just have to focus on what's in our control and work towards making this change. Like, this wasn't coming into Congress and achieving a 30%. Like, we're not way off the mark. A lot of counties really listened to their players. So that is positive. And there was really good debate, you know, and I think if every Congress had that level of debate, the association would be, you know, will do well.
One last thing. Obviously, you guys were championing this from a couple of weeks back and explaining exactly what it was, and you got your players out to do that. There was no one else really who went to bat publicly on behalf of this, saying this is what we need to do. Conor Dunne, who obviously was a member of the task force, but he was an individual, you know, no longer part of a task force because the task force didn't actually exist anymore, who would come up with it. And, you know, his work, I think, really helped to springboard the whole financial aspect of this. But what the next time we really need is somebody centrally saying, this is the consensus, we've worked hard on it, and these are the arguments for and against. Because I think, for example, the whole, only 10 teams are going to make the All-Ireland, was like, no, everybody's in the All-Ireland series. Like, it didn't have anybody to explain it from the start. There was no marketing for it. There was no one saying, no, you're wrong about that, and here's the facts, and this is what we expect it to be. That was clearly lacking from the debate the last time. It needs it the next time if you're going to get to 60%.
Yeah, look, 100%. And look, the provincial chiefs came out with their view, but like, you have to remember that's a biased view because they're protecting their provincial competition, and that's their full-time job. Like, my role has to be unbiased because I have to represent 32 counties, 4 provinces, 4 divisions, and I'll never, you know, achieve 100%, you know, as a player body. But we have to represent what's best for all teams, for all 32 counties, and that's why it is really important that the leaders in HQ who have an unbiased view, you know, who aren't weighted for any province or any county, really, really come out and try and alleviate fears with this proposal. And I do think there was some fears with the proposal. Maybe there should have been a more robust package to alleviate any fears in counties or even with provincial chairs, etc. So I do believe that will happen now, and I think the last 2 weeks has been really promising that Larry McCarthy and Tom Ryan has come out in favour for it and has really given a commitment after the Congress that A, there's a mandate for change, and B, they'll start working on it straight away. So.
And Tom, do you think there's an opportunity there then, really, for Larry McCarthy to cement his legacy as the GAA president who delivers change to the Gaelic Football Championship? Because we've been crying out for it now for really since the qualifiers came in and we saw the benefit of a few extra games. The whole country wants more good football in summertime for everybody. So is this a chance for Larry McCarthy to cement his legacy, do you think?
Yeah, I don't want to call out anybody's legacy, and I don't think it's about that. And I think it's the greater good here, and it's just a really, really important piece of work that is so important, not just to players, but also supporters who invest an awful lot, and our Gaelic family who invest an awful lot of time into the game. And, you know, this is really important for the association. And it's not an inter-county thing, because if our games at an inter-county level aren't thriving in the Leitrims or Sligos or Offaly's or Wicklow's, like, we're not going to thrive at club level. You know, there is a ripple effect. You know, young children around Ireland need to look up and see their county team play in the summer and be proud of that county team because they're performing, they're competitive, they have a chance of success. And that, you know, so it's an association's challenge. So I think it's just a no-brainer that this is top of the priority for all those at HQ. It's certainly a priority for us as a Gaelic Players Association representing the voice of the players. So that's how I would frame it as a key priority for the association rather than, you know, anyone's legacy.
Tom, good stuff. Thanks a million for joining us this morning. Cheers.
Thanks.
Tom Parsons, the Chief Executive of the GPA, giving us his thoughts on that. You can give us your thoughts on the YouTube channel. Leave a comment there. Subscribe to youtube.com/offtheball. And anytime we're live, or if you turn on your notifications as well, we'll let you know about that. So at 8:34 this morning, a reminder, OTBAM is live in association with Gillette. Good morning. Start with Gillette. Put your best face forward with their new and improved razors. We'll see where that goes. We're obviously going to keep fostering the debate around this because we do think that the opportunity to strike while the iron is hot, to get people in a room, is relatively straightforward. You just ask people for their opinions. You know, you could give every delegate a survey monkey and say, you voted for or against, you don't have to tell us, this is totally anonymous, why did you, what were the reasons, give us a weighting, was it because you believe the provincial championships need to be, was it because Team 6, and then just understand the exact reasons why this proposal failed. And a lot of people are making the case for, Kieran Shannon again, very eloquently making the case for Division 1A and 1B, and like let's tease that out. Let's hear exactly what the benefits of that would be. I'm not madly convinced on that, but I'm definitely open to being convinced. And like,
yeah, my initial reaction is also that 1A 1B, but the current format for the National League is better than when football was 1A 1B basically, and this would be a huge part of it, that you are diluting essentially or making a bigger gap between some of the teams. But again, it is 100% worth teasing out. It's worth teasing out the Team 6 situation and seeing how that would look, seeing how many dead rubbers that would actually invite if you were to use last year's results. Like, what could happen then here as well is that does the GEA completely take us in a different direction and open the floor up again to whole ideas? If that happens, like, and maybe that is the best outcome, it could be hard to get something back on the table by February is the only thing.
I don't think that's the best outcome. I think opening it up again is pointless because we've done it again and again.
Like, it is a can of worms, and also it opens the whole situation to a bit of pushback, and there will be that. Like, I mean, people, the provincial councils are looking at the 51% and saying, right, how do we make that 41%?
Yeah.
Whereas Tom Parsons is saying, how do we make that 51%? 61%. So this goes two ways. This is not just about convincing the few. This is about keeping everybody on side.
No.
And convincing more people.
For people who are old enough, this is hanging chads. This is Florida. This is George Bush versus Al Gore, and everybody came together and totally united after that, didn't they? Oh no, wait, that led to the fall of civilization. So let's wait and see exactly what comes next. I definitely felt a little bit on Saturday, like in the 80s when the divorce referendum didn't pass. I was like, oh my god, how has this happened? But then you remember that eventually all of the little bits and pieces that people had, all the problems that they had, fell away, and it was then there's a rump of 30% who never want change no matter what because they don't understand it and they don't want it, and it's the other 70% you need to bring with you to get, or 65% in Ireland because we're a little bit conservative, that you need to get with you and go, actually there is a better world and here's our shared vision for that world. It could be amazing. It's 8:37 this morning. Jamie Wall is an ambassador for Sport Ireland's Let's Get Back. It's a project aimed at encouraging members of the public that are anxious or unsure about returning to sport and physical activity, that it is possible to do so in a safe and secure manner. For more information, go to sportireland.ie. Jamie, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, Ger. How are you?
As a hurling man, what was your take on the civil war that football is embarking on at the moment? Are you a disinterested observer? What did you make of the whole thing?
Sure. Well, first of all, like, I'm not a hurling man, I'm a GA man. I played hurling and football for a long time, as you know, and like, do you know what? It was a weekend where I kind of felt myself looking at sport and kind of almost saying, this would be easier if I was disinterested. As you know, I'm also a Man United man, and I was at Old Trafford on Sunday.
Wow.
So that was another moment. That was another moment where I was kind of like, I actually was pictured on the Sky Sports camera when the fifth goal went in. I could see the spider camera looking at me, and I was just there with my father, like, oh no. And that's basically how I felt on Saturday as well. I kind of felt like, you know, provincial councils were Mo Salah, and they were just kicking me while I was down for something better to happen. So yeah, in this instance, I've tried to frame Liverpool as the bad guys, but yeah, look, like, it's, you're watching it and you're kind of thinking, like, on Saturday before we left, I was chatting to my brother and he just looked at his phone and he said, special Congress, and I looked at him, he's just rolled his eyes, and I was like, ah, you're joking. He said, yeah. So like, no, definitely not a disinterested observer, a very interested observer, a very kind of just weary observer looking at it, you know. You're watching these, like, look, like, it was all I could, but that I didn't, you know, ring you up there last week when the, was it Mr. Reynolds from the Leinster Council was on, because I watched that interview and my blood was boiling just as a person on the ground. I just couldn't believe the general kind of patronising attitude that has been taken towards, you know, younger people within the association and people who want you know, changes. There's a kind of a we know best attitude.
Well, let's take it away from Michael specifically, because in fairness to him, right, and while I disagree with a lot of what he said, he did give us 40 minutes of his time to explain what his position, and that I would say of a lot of people within the organisation is, which loads of people didn't bother. They didn't come on. We asked them and they wouldn't come on, and we keep asking them, and we'll keep asking them now for the next 6 months. But what could we do as an organisation to make it more representative of people who are players, who are younger, who have a different mindset to a different generation of people who tend to end up in the administrative and power-broking roles?
It's very hard. I mean, like, because a lot of younger people aren't interested in that administrative side of it. And I suppose, you know, until younger people get involved in that side of it, then we can't, you know, like, we can't be too critical, we'll say, of the people who are doing those jobs. Because, like, I suppose for me, like, the GAA need to look at, I was listening to the tail end of Tom there, and Tom made a very good point that, like, provincial councils are going to come out against proposals that dilute the impact of the provincial councils. But for me, the provincial council's job actually shouldn't be running competitions. Like, I think that'd be a huge start, is that, like, the primary role of the provincial councils is, you know, the development of the games in the provinces, and, like, the competitions aren't. Whereas I think that's kind of gotten a small bit mixed up in the last number of years, where provincial councils feel like their primary role is to run their competition and everything else is secondary, you know. So, like that'd be a huge start. I think, you know, there is still, and it's kind of reared its head, there is still a little bit of, it's not as bad as it was, obviously, because there was a day before where that kind of a mandate from the GPA would have actually been a negative thing in terms of getting something through Congress. And it has changed. And I suppose, I'm speaking from a position of being a small bit disheartened by it all, so I'm likely to throw the baby out with the bathwater. But you know what? There was 49.4% of people in that room did think, you know what, we've a problem here. And, you know, that's a significant number, you know. And I suppose, like, it is creeping towards getting better, you know. But, you know, like, just listening to you comparing it to the divorce referendum, that was before I was born. Like, I kind of, it just made me laugh, kind of thinking that is the kind of level of inbuilt opposition to change that we have in the GAA. It's a very, very representative organisation of Irish life.
It is, and it's easy to become disheartened. Like, and I was definitely disheartened for most of Saturday, but then chatting it through with various people was like, actually, there is the bones of a movement here that is unstoppable. I think everybody accepts that Gaelic football is broken at the moment. Now, unfortunately, there are too many vested interests, too many factional interests, too many tribal interests, which haven't been addressed. So we probably need to sit with everybody who is selfishly going, well, how does this affect my chances of winning the All-Ireland, and say, well, if you're true to the spirit of the organisation, which is supposed to be spreading Irish culture and the Irish language, then actually that's not the question you're supposed to ask here. It's how do we increase the benefit for the most people the fastest? And that is to give everybody the same number of games.
But yeah, exactly. But even that, Jared, to be honest with you, like, that argument falls down very quickly in my eyes from a purely competitive sports point of view. Like, look, the obvious example this year, and I've got a foot in the Meath campus, Tommy Rooney well knows, like, I was originally from County Meath before I moved down to Cork. So I watched the Meath ladies this year with, you know, with massive pride. And obviously that story of, you know, going down intermediate, winning the intermediate and winning the All-Ireland. And everyone thought, like, oh, this is a massive fairy tale. But, like, the bottom line is anyone who's been involved in Club GAA throughout the country over the last 10 years has seen this story 10 times over. You know, like, you see teams winning a junior and then bang, winning an intermediate and they're up senior and they're competing senior. And, like, you see teams winning intermediates and going on and winning a senior at club level all the time. And, like, what annoys me the most about the football change debate is it's literally the only level of Gaelic games between ladies football, camogie, hurling, and every club competition up and down the county. It's literally the only one that isn't graded properly. You know, it's literally the only one where we say at the start of the year, in you go, let's see who wins. And only five teams can win a championship trophy at the start of every year max, you know, like, as in you have your four provinces in your county. And that for me is ridiculous. Like, in the GAA, we need to create more opportunities for not just for games and absolutely for games, but also for success, you know, for teams to look at their year as a success and at the end of your inter-county career to look back and say, you know, I had opportunities for success. I had every year I had an opportunity to do something that wasn't just going to be at the end of the year saying, oh, this was great, we got to a quarter final this year. It's like that's rubbish, like, you know. And I've heard people make arguments about, you know, they've spoken about Leicester, for example, in the Premier League. But like, a team in Division 4 winning the championship is not like Leicester winning the Premier League. Like, they were in the Premier League. They were in the top 20 of 92 teams to win that Premier League. It's not the same. And I think, you know, we're very good to look across the water for the example that suits our argument, but not actually look at, you know, the overall kind of overarching thing whereby, you know, you've got 92 teams in English league football, we'll say association football, and they are graded, you know, 20, 24, 24, 24, something like that. You know, like, every competition in the world is tiered and graded except our great one that is lasting, you know. There was a comment about, you know, throwing away 100 years of tradition. It's not throwing it away, it's honouring it, you know, in my eyes. Like, you honour tradition by moving forward. Like, you know, all you actually do is demean tradition by keeping things as they are, which was, they were a brilliant idea. You know, provincial championships themselves, even, like, I would argue, they're a product of an era where Ireland was a lot more inaccessible. You know, you can get to Dublin now from Cork as fast as you probably would have got to Killarney 40 years ago, you know. It's a different world, and we need to move with that side of it. And I suppose that, for me, is the part of it that is most annoying, is because I don't think there's a cognizance of these new realities and how do we move with them and create better things for everyone. Like you said, you know, taking off those glasses and those kind of what's best for me and my interest glasses and thinking what's best overall here.
Do you think that's changing somewhat, Jamie? Like, I mean, Tom mentioned the fact that the Sligo chairperson spoke very well at the weekend. Even down in Cork, you've someone like Kevin O'Donovan who was on the show and spoke very well in favour of it. That there does, in some places, seem to be a new generation of thinkers within the GEA, and maybe that traditional representation of Irish life is starting to be chiselled out a little bit within the GEA.
And the Longford GAA chairman, like, in my eyes, actually, the Longford GAA chairman on the Examiner a couple of weeks ago, he made the best points of it, because he actually pointed out the flaws with Proposal B in saying, we're not going far enough with this. And, you know, it does, and I do think it is changing. And like you said, you mentioned Kevin, like, Kevin and in Cork, like, they have totally revamped the Cork Championships, where we've got 5 grades at the moment before you even get to junior in the hurling, and it's 12, 12, 12, 12. We played 3 group games with the club. We're into a semi-final. You know, like, it's games in a great kind of run of games and at your level. And honestly, like, over the last couple of weeks, everyone I meet when we're out training or we're, like, from different clubs is saying, God, we have a great championship now. Fair play. They did a great job with the championship. And you're kind of saying, yeah, you know, because they took the bull by the horns and they upset a few people, putting them down a grade and up a grade. And, you know, they weren't really bothered by upsetting people. And that's, you know, that kind of level of bravery, as well as, you know, forward thinking and new thinking, is what we need. Like, it was something, actually, you know, like, I was in favour of Proposal B purely because I thought it's the best of the 3 proposals on the table, being Proposal A, Proposal B, and the status quo. If you asked me, you know, like, are there flaws with Proposal B, I'd have said there are massive flaws with it. Like, I said, I don't think it went nearly far enough. And what I think is kind of ironic is that, in my eyes, the biggest flaws with Proposal B were the ones that were put in there, you know, to try and get this thing going. You know, they were kind of political kind of allowances, we'll say, to get over the first hurdle of bringing change. And, you know, you're kind of wondering, thinking, you know, Jesus, like, should the next proposal just be an absolute root and branch and just see, like, and just put these people under pressure and say, okay, you pointed out flaws, like, you know, the 6th team in Division 1 versus this team in Division 4. Well, let's just go full Division 1, Division 2, Division 3. So, if that was your issue, and actually make these people who are, you know, just pointing out flaws that are obvious flaws there, actually put them on the spot and say, okay, now we fixed that flaw. Now what's your issue with this? You know, and maybe this being rejected could be a really, really good thing. Like you said, maybe it will just mobilize people. I feel like I'm getting a small bit mobilized myself here.
Good.
Just talking about it. Like, maybe it will mobilize people to say, do you know what? we gave you a chance and we didn't even go far enough there. Now we're really going for this, you know. But look, like I said, hopefully, like, because I'm looking at intercounty players, like I'm friendly with intercounty players, and I'm of that age. I'm looking at guys involved with, we'll say, take Clare, for example, and you know, I'm not speaking out of turn here because Podge is on with you, and obviously myself and Podge are very close, we're first cousins, and you know, he really believed in this change, and like we spoke about this, and I spoke about the flaws to him, and he said, you know, we need to get this going and we need to start this, and if we start this, it will get better. Look at the hurling, you know, we had the grades first and then we got to our round robin and now we've got this championship. And I said, yeah, that's a fair point. And like, you know, he's looking at it from a point of view of like, they had an incredible day. I remember years ago, they won a league final in Croke Park against Kildare. And like, I would say that was one of their best days as Clare footballers. They got up to Croke Park at their level and they won a competition at their level and they got up to Division 2. And now their aim every year is, okay, how can we try and, you know, they've established themselves in Division 2 and now it's like, right, how can we eye up Division 1 from this proper base? And like, that for me is like, that's exactly how you build something. And like, you know, they've done that through the National League, and that's why this proposal had so much merit, because it allowed you to improve while experiencing success, you know, and while ultimately still, you're still eyeing up that ultimate goal of winning Division 1 championships, like, you know, and that's how a lot of teams have gone after it. But what it does is it provides an actual, a workable mechanism to do that, because, you know, we've been doing it the other way for a while, and what we've ended up with is essentially, you know, the same team more or less winning Connacht every year, the same one or two teams winning Ulster every year, the same team bar once every 15 or 20 years winning in Munster, and the same team winning Leinster every year. And like, we're ending up with a cartel of the strongest being strong and the weakest kind of just being there. I believe the term was cannon fodder that was used a couple of weeks ago. Like, that's what's ending up being the case. And you just wonder, like, can these new voices, you know, get a little bit more support? But I do think so. And like you said, like we said at the start, the GA is very representative of Irish life. And, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, it was just the 80s, 30 years ago now, Jar, sorry. But like, that's divorce referendums weren't going through. And then, you know, in the last decade, like we've passed far, what would have been seen as far more difficult referendums to pass because more people are mobilising and getting interested. So maybe this is going to be the spark that lights the touch paper.
Well, we're certainly here for the grassroots movement of young GAA members coming to the fore and making their voices heard, and we're certainly going to give them a platform for it. Jamie, we didn't even get into Shefflin setting a bomb off in the hurling championship. We must get you back on to talk about that really soon. Thanks a million for joining us this morning. Cheers.
Thanks, sure. Thanks for having me.
It's Jamie Wall there. He's an ambassador for Sport Ireland's Let's Get Back. It's a project aimed at encouraging members of the public that are anxious or unsure about returning to sport and physical activity, that it is possible to do so in a safe and secure manner. Go to sportireland.ie for more details.
OTB AM.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.